Good morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration, Fountain of Life. I'm going to go back to the Epistle of John. For those of you who didn't listen yesterday morning, we are taking John, chapter 5 and verse 13, where it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." So what we're doing here is we're going back and see what he has written so that we may know if we have eternal life. We're going to go to, we're going to go to First Epistle of John, chapter 2. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Just making it clear that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is the one that stands before the Father, and he's the one that, that pleads for our cause. And then verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his command, his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And again, that is our theme for this week, is that we might know that we know him. And we are looking at what John wrote, that we might know. And here he gives us another little clue, another little principle to go by. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, this seems to be a rather controversial issue in our day. There's a lot of free grace preached, and a lot of people that you know, it's just to believe. And yes, I do believe that. I do believe that it is by believing. But this is the sign whether we really believe or not, is whether we keep his commandments. I think also of a verse in Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, where somebody came to Jesus and was saying to him about his family being there, his mother and his sister and his brother. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 50, he said this, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And so for us to be a part of the family of God, or of the family of Jesus, is to do the will of the Father, to keep his commandments. And that is a very important issue here. Also in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15 and verse 9, starts out there, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Again, the qualifications for abiding in his love is to keeping his commandments. "These things have I," verse 11, "these things have I written unto you, that you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Lots of ifs in there, if we keep his commandments. And so he says, this is his commandment, that you love one another. But very importantly there is the keeping of his commandments. When we believe, it will make us want to do what he says. And that is one of the marks whether you are in Christ or not. Now back to the Epistle of John. See, verse 4, we read that, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And I guess we had not read that. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And then he goes into, and he says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." We did read that. "Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And here again we have another little principle there, but actually it ties right into with what he talks about, the commandments. What we read in chapter 15 there was saying that chapter 15 verse 12, "This is my commandment," St. John chapter 15 verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And so that ties right in there, that commandment of loving one another. And another place Jesus talks about the greatest commandment. And he said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And so, again, tying right into what he's talking about here in the first epistle of John. And it's making it very clear that we cannot hate our brother and walk in the light. If we hate our brother, we are in darkness. And again, there's so much bitterness, hatred in the church today, and many, I'm afraid, will be disappointed in that final day because they would not forgive, because there was hatred, and which actually runs against most modern church theology of free grace. Grace is not free. It will cost you everything you have. And so anyway, we must give ourselves to Christ wholly and completely. We cannot hang on to these hatred and things like that and abide in Christ at the same time. Then in verse 12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." And then he goes into the other, the next principle I want to look at is, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Again, tied right in there is to do the will of God. And then he goes into the whole thing about the Antichrist, which we're not going to touch this morning. But here he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And then he makes a very strong statement, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Very clear. And and there is no way around it. If you have the love of the world in your heart, you do not have the love of the Father. It cannot go together. It's either, again, the whole idea of this salvation. Salvation is free, but it'll cost us everything we have. We cannot receive the life that Jesus is wanting to give us until we're ready to die and give up the life that we already have. And so, makes it very clear here, he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He explains a little bit of what the world is. And also, in James chapter 4 and verse 4, we have another little... We have another similar verse that talks about the world. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Again, making it very clear that there is no in-between, there is no saying in two places. If you are a friend to the world, you are an enemy to God, and there is no way around it. Very important things, especially in our day, where there is so much worldliness in the church, in professing believers, and may we purge our hearts and our souls and our churches of the worldliness that has crept in, and get a fresh understanding of what it means to have the love of the Father and to be separated from the world. I think that's as far as I'm going to go this morning, and thank you for listening, and we will be back tomorrow morning. God bless you.